Oh, I'm so glad you played that one. This leads me to another question, just while we're on the on Dylan. Marvin, you've been famous for how you can adopt the vocal styles of anyone from Jagger and Dylan to Don Henley to Elvis Costello. And I just wonder, you know, what do these artists think of this? Like, you're known as this sort of chameleon, and I wonder what you've thought of the controversy around this.
Well, most of them don't like it. I think voice is a very personal thing. If you look at Moffitt's work, you know, personal voice, lots through the 60s and 70s, so I'm respectful of that. But my answer to those criticisms is that the truth of these songs doesn't belong to any one individual, and that I think it's helpful to the listener who's hearing a recovered lyric for the first time to hear it. You know, I don't take any I don't think of myself as someone who can really duplicate Bob Dylan's voice, but I try my best in terms of when I'm singing a Bob Dylan song, I want the audience to hear that voice, and that voice is part of a larger conversation. So if somebody comes up to me and says, don't try and sing like me, I'll say, well, I'm not really trying to sing like you. I'm trying to represent your voice in a larger conversation. And I think that takes precedence over any individual's ego.
This has come up a lot when you do what some critics have referred to as your cross-cultural work, where you're singing in the voice and in the style and bringing to light lyrics that were done by people from very different walks of life. I mean, you could maybe identify with a Buddy Holly or an Elvis Presley, but when you really started branching out, I think that's when some of this controversy erupted. But I wonder if you'd be interested in maybe doing one of these songs. I know that...
Especially the folk stuff. When Marvin started discovering the, you know, the tunes that were so old, the folk tunes, it wasn't clear who the author was, but these were embedded in the cultures and the experience of being in the composition class again, teaching the composition class. These things were embedded in the culture in ways that were just undeniable, and you know, whether people wanted to hear it or not, you know, Marvin had to bring it out, and that's what we did.
A song like the one we're going to do next, we do most of our work in the second half of the 20th century, but when we discovered this lyric to a Spanish Mexican folk song, we found the lyrics in Spanish, and we actually had to get a friend of ours who used to play in the band, a mariachi, a violinist who used to be a member of the band and still is, actually. She can show up whenever she wants. But she helped us with the translation because she was a fluent Spanish speaker. And when we started to perform the song, complaints about appropriation, we've talked about appropriation a couple of times with you, and we've been accused of appropriation of other cultures. What we're trying to do is show that the trauma of writing is not limited to 1950 to 2000 America.
It's universal.
It's universal.
The universal requirement.
So when we found this one and had it translated, we weren't pleased about the trauma that people were suffering, but we were heartened to understand and realize and have more evidence that this was not limited to a particular group in a particular time, that this was something that was shared across national boundaries, across linguistic boundaries, that this really is a universal pain that people feel in learning how to write.
And it's interesting because these songs have actually often been your most popular, most requested songs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People love them or hate them, I guess.
Well, I'm glad you're here to play some of them for us. So what are we going to hear?
Well, this is a song called Quantas Palabras, which is a question that students ask. It's often the first question students ask when a writing assignment is given. Quantas Palabras, how many words? Soy estudiante sincero. Y el trabajo bien duro. Escribo todo el día. A terminar mi ensayo. Y antes de componer tanto, hay un número quiero. ¿Cuántas palabras? Ay, dime cuántas palabras. ¿Cuántas palabras? Ay, dime cuántas palabras. Soy estudiante sincero.
I am a student sincere.
Y yo trabajo bien duro.
And I work very hard.
Escribo todo el día.
I write all day.
A terminar mi ensayo.
Just to finish my essay.
Y antes de componer tanto.
Before I compose too much.
Hay un número quiero.
There's a number I want.
¿Cuántas palabras?
Dime.
Ay, dime cuántas palabras. ¿Cuántas palabras? Ay, dime cuántas palabras. ¿Cuántas palabras? Ay, dime cuántas palabras. ¿Cuántas palabras? Ay, dime cuántas palabras.
Wow, thanks. That was, I mean, as people know, this is one of the most requested songs. And
they want it all the time.
I think it's because, again, like this is this universal theme of how we, as creative as we might feel, as excited as we might get about an assignment or creating some sort of story or essay, we all have that moment of, well, now, how much am I going to have to produce? How many words am I going to have to create here? And that just, that, especially the mournfulness that you give it. This is like one of the things that critics have also noted over the years about the Composition Blues Band, is that it's not just an archival project. It is a performative project. And I think that's what makes the CBB sort of the treasure that it is.
Well, you know, we've lived the life. Some people are writing songs about things they don't know about, but Mara and I, we've been there, we've done that. We have lived the life, and I think you can hear that.